right.
Well, I know many of you were just moving so you'd stay warm. Praise God. So you need to come up here a little bit. It's about 20 degrees warmer. Praise God. Well, it's good to see everybody here this morning on this last day of 2017. Good to have our visitors from Missouri. And one thing we're going to take care of real quick. Standing in the back, I can't help but notice there's a bunch of you who got some congestion issues going on. We're going to pray right now. So if this is you, take your left hand. Everybody hold up your left. Hold up your left. If you're sick, hold your left. Place it on your chest. Right hand in the air. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak right now to each and every person in here who is dealing with sickness and disease. Father, I curse it in Jesus' name. I speak life and health right now into their bodies. I thank you and praise you, Father, that you are moving in their lives. You are healing them. You are clearing them up, Father, faster than any medication. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I was just standing there like, wow, we've got the tissue brigade going. Oh, praise God. Well, we don't have to remain sick. That's just all there is to that. All right. We didn't have anything else just right now? Okay. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. Father, we thank you for everything you do in our lives. Father, for everything you've done in 2017. Father, we look forward to 2018. Father, we've seen what's been, we've come through in 17, Father, and we know that you are in 2018 already. Now, Father, we stand here today as one, presenting to you our tithes and our offerings. Father, I pray as your instrument and bless this. Father, I thank you for it. I receive it on your behalf. I bless it back to the giver, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, you may be seated, and Super Kids are dismissed. Well, it's hard to believe that it has been a full year, that it has just flew by the way that it did. You know, 2017 was indeed an outstanding year. And many of you remember I told you it's not because everything was hunky-dory. The year will stand out. I wanted to reiterate that back when the Holy Spirit just said, remind them outstanding means it stands out. You know, in the Marine Corps, I got used to saying outstanding. You know, when something was good, outstanding, you know, that was just kind of our thing to do. And so people kind of lost. It's just kind of like awesome. Man, that's awesome. If you understand that the word awesome means it's something that leaves you awestruck. You don't have words to speak. You can't find the words to put together to describe what it was. You know, so if a car is awesome, that's all you can say about it. But no, he's like, man, look at that paint job. Look at those tires. Look at that motor. Da, da, da. We go down the whole gamut of things. So maybe it didn't leave us awestruck. Awestruck is when you just stand there and you're in disbelief that this, you expected it, but yet it still, and it happened. You just didn't have words to put to it. And so, you know, as I was talking to the Lord about what to preach today, well, I believe God took me to a scripture that, you know, when we were in North Carolina, it was a song. And it was a song I loved because it jammed. We didn't have a whole lot of songs that there were electric guitars in. Even though we had guitars, they just weren't. It was late 90s, folks. Everybody was still all keyboard, all the way. And personally, I got along pretty good with guitar people. But anyhow, that's why we like a good mix. But this song, I remember every time it would start off and they'd look at me and I'd make sure I just reached down and I'd turn Johnny up. Johnny would turn himself down. But I'm threatened to take his volume knob. Because what we sang about was something that was so powerful and so moving. And it got people inspired and got them up and motivated. Listen, there's a place for the slow worship songs, and then there's a place for the ones that lift you up and get you out of the quandaries, right? Out of the magmire. You gotta have something that brings you up and fires you up. You know, I can't tell you that I love sitting down on YouTube and watching military tribute videos. And the ones, you know, there's a lot of them that bring you to tears. But just depending on the song. I remember back in when I was in Japan, I got my hands hold of a video that was made by pilots on the USS Midway. They had made it of some of their missions in Iraq during Desert Shield and Desert Storm. And I remember sitting there watching this video. And I hadn't heard a whole lot of stuff put to this yet. I mean, it was still pretty new, you know, stuff going on in the 90s. Today, you know, if you got a cell phone, you can do it. Well, these guys, man, they didn't have that. They had their footage. And I remember seeing the first one came on. And I'm like, I know that tune. I know that tune. And then there's a helicopter sitting there, and a Cobra, and it shoots a missile, and it just blows this tank up. And the song was Hell's Bells. And I just remember what the guitar did, how it lifted us. And it's like, yeah, it got you going. But then if you had to listen to Sarah McLachlan's In the Arms of an Angel, they could be military tribute videos. One's going to get you fired up. The other one's going to leave you in a pool of goo over here. So that has absolutely nothing to do with today's message. I'm just telling you, sometimes you got to have something that lifts you up. And but today, that scripture that somebody wrote this song out of is found in Romans 16:19-20. And we even sang that. Romans 16:19 says, let's go there. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That is a powerful scripture. First off, the Apostle Paul is exhorting the Romans to be wise. I honestly have to say that is something that I fault the church with today. We are not wise, we are simpletons. Not in simple of what is evil, we fall for everything. Oh, here comes the latest, greatest thing. We gotta do it because this person claims to be a prophet. Well, if he claims to be a prophet, let's hold him to the biblical standards and see if he holds up. 9 times out of 10 will not. Because to be honest with you, they don't want to be held to those biblical standards. Because you know what you did with a false prophet? You took him out back and you stoned him. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've been hitting the head a few times with rocks. I'm sure that's quite evident. But I didn't like it. I can't imagine a bunch of people throwing them at me. And so the Apostle Paul, he was telling them, first off, your obedience is known to all. But he says, but I want you to be wise in what is good. Jesus told us this. He said, therefore, I want you to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Why? Because he said, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. When you're out, you've got to start noticing things going on around you. You can't be, da, la, da, da, da. This isn't some Smurf cartoon. You got to be paying attention to what's going on around you. What's going on in the world? What's going on in my community? You know, I can't tell you how many times you hear people, especially after a shooting, they say, "I didn't realize what was going on." How could you not realize? I realized, you know, that my training and what we've been working with our security here in is to be paying attention to what's going on. Every time that door opens, one of us is looking at it. Part of mine is a little bit of, I guess, ADD. You know, I'm a squirrel kind of guy. But I see that door open, I'm looking. If I'm standing here and I see somebody pass by there, I'm waiting. So if you see me sometimes just standing here and I'm still talking and I'm staring out that door, somebody just walked by. People walk by in the parking lot all the time. We need to be observing what's going on around us. We can tell what's happening. Can you not tell what's going on in the world today, in this country today? We are a divided country. We are not the United States. We are the divided states right now. And we are divided upon stupidity. It's the only thing I can put it as. The things that people, how many of y'all just saw the latest? They're all over Ivanka Trump and her husband because they took a picture of her husband and him on their boat, and there's a rebel flag in the back. 150 yards off, there's a redneck with his little houseboat fishing, and he's got a flag. And they're throwing Ivanka and her family under the bus. This is stupidity. Okay? The flag does not represent racism. It, in my opinion, though, it should not be flown in this country, period, because it is a defeated battle flag. That's all there is to that. It was the Confederate States. They formed their own country. We whooped them. That flag should no longer be flown. Okay? That's all there is to that. That's the only reason. Other than that, I don't care. Now, so we got to be wise. We need to be making sure that people, charlatans, aren't coming in and fleecing the flock. As I sat and read this, I sat there and thought, oh Lord, how many people I knew when I grew up, my mom and dad, when they got saved, they were seeking God so in depth, and the people that took advantage of them. My parents didn't know anything about God. My family were heathens. I mean, pure tea heathen. Somewhere along the line, my great-grandmother was a Sunday school teacher in the Presbyterian church, but somewhere along the line, that didn't go home. And the other side, well, I did have a grandma, great-grandma, who was spirit-filled. My mom remembers going to church with her. She sat up there, and mom didn't realize the chair she was in was the one the rattlesnakes were under. So, you kind of got the... You got goofiness and goofiness. So then nobody wanted to go to church. Nobody wanted to know anything about God. And why? Well, because we have become simpletons. Somebody says, well, you can pick up snakes. Well, the first person that died should have been, okay, that's an indication you don't play with snakes. Now, I don't know about you guys. I'm not afraid of snakes. I don't roll around in them. I just put it mildly that way. But even I know you don't pick up rattlesnakes and dance with them. I've seen the videos. This is how they dance. You're shaking a snake. I remember I picked up a cat. A little, you can ask Angie. She was watching. She will verify, folks, I was not harming this animal. It had gotten in my truck. I'd left the windows down that night. And we were working here, and I picked up this cat, and I had my door open, and I stepped back and hit the pole that was holding the carport up. And when I did, I shook that cat, and that cat took all four claws, sunk them into my arm, and sunk its teeth into the palm of my hand. Now, I'm not going to say that I love that cat, because that hurt for a very long time. But just that little bit of shake told that cat I was trying to harm it. What do you think a rattlesnake is going to think, you're dancing around with it above your head. Somebody's harming me. I'm going to bite it. We recently had somebody die of one. That's why, it was within the last year. It made the news. So we need, because Paul is actually talking about people preaching different doctrines, two verses up, okay? Paul is warning us to be obedient, but Paul is reminding us that we have to be wise. We can't just say, well, you know what, brother, I'm just going to give you all my money because you said God will bless me. Did God tell you to do that? That's my question to you. Did God tell you to give all your money? If he did, not me, if I'm telling you to give all your money, there's a problem. But if God says, I want you to take every dime you got in your pocket and give it. But God, that's my last 20 bucks. And I agree with the theory that says, well, if you give it to God, he can do more with that than you can going down to the fast food restaurant. If God told you to do it, you had better doggone give it. Because God's blessing on your life is based upon obedience. Not because God wants your 20 bucks. He don't need your 20 bucks. Let's remember what David wrote. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Here's what I like. He owns the hills. Now, so we got people that have for years, and that gave the church a black eye. Yeah, we got all these televangelists, all they want. I turn off the ones that start crying. Sorry, brother. You ain't getting a dime. I'm not moved by tears. You can ask my wife if we get in a tussle and she's very sensitive. You saw it this morning. And, you know, the tears start flowing. I'm like, that is not, we will talk, we will carry this on when you can bring it under control because it's not fair. I'm not going to do that. And we usually get it squared away. But people that are moving you with tears, I understand tears of sincerity. I've seen some of you in tears. Some of you I never thought I'd see with a tear. Okay? I ain't going to tell. It's none of your business. Because God's been breaking me down too. Unfortunately, he's doing it up here. I don't get the benefit of being in the midst. Because God answered her prayers. I just want to see him cry. I figured at my point, I'd already cried all the tears I was going to cry. But listen, we need to be wise. Okay? He said, I want you to be wise in what is good. Wise. Here's my definition. This would probably float with any all the dictionaries if you combine them all together. Here is the Book of Art definition of wise. A practical application and skillful use of whether you've got knowledge or abilities. I've known people that are claim to be wise, and they really aren't. Well, you know, and the Bible does say Solomon was the wisest person of his time, and pretty much of all time. However, I would throw something at you. Was Solomon really all that wise to have 300 wives, 700 or 1,000 concubines, whatever it was? That was a man, just so you all know. No, he wasn't. Solomon got involved in stuff. There's more stuff you need to understand. This, the wives wasn't all that Solomon got involved with. There's people going around right now trying to teach you that you have a power. You do. You have power over demons. But there's people trying to teach you now to control those demons to do what you want. They're on TV. This is what Solomon got wrapped up in. There's a book that we threw out of the Christian teaching at all, but it is still in the Jewish tradition that talks about what Solomon got into. And he got into a realm that drove him crazy. Literally crazy. He couldn't control it anymore. I had a, I guess she was a step aunt, I don't know how it kind of worked out. It was a real weird situation in our family. Stepbrother, stepsister married. The stepbrother was my actual uncle. She was my step aunt. So I don't know if she was step aunt or full aunt. I don't know what to do. There was no blood, but it was still weird. They got involved in some garbage, some seance type garbage. And after they divorced, because she's like, you are out there, dude. And a few years shortly after that, she wrote a suicide note and hung herself. And in that note, she wrote, "I can't live with the living, let alone the dead." So don't tell me there's not real powers that people are messing in. She got involved in that stuff, and she couldn't handle it anymore. This is why I tell you, be wise in what you're watching, what you're listening to. You don't need to think, well, you know, it's just not getting in there. Well, yeah, it is. There's even times I'm like, listen, I know I've heard this song 150 times. Don't want to hear it today. For some reason, it just, bam, I can fast forward, go right through it. Movies. Listen. Werewolf movies, Frankenstein, all that stuff. I'll be honest with you, the one genre of movies I will not watch are demonic. The demonic world is real. We can say, oh, Jose, well, it's not. Because I remember I was in rebellion, full-on rebellion, watching a movie called The Believers. Because Angela's friend had said it was the scariest movie she had ever saw. And at that time, I was like, well, what the heck? I watched it. I didn't think it was all that scary. But the only thing I kept remembering in my sitting there watching it with all my heathen friends in our barracks room was, why don't you just say, in the name of Jesus, leave? Because they had all these demons flying around the guy's house. That's all I could think of. And so from that point on, I'm like, you know what? I ain't watching anything that involves possession. Possession is real. So we need to be innocent of evil. Wise in what is good. We need to know the workings on how to be good. Benevolence. That's great. I love helping people. We love helping people here. One thing we've unfortunately had to learn, there's people there on a schedule for receiving help. A couple times we've had people call and say, listen, I'm about to be kicked out, my son and I, and it's, you know, the middle of the winter, and that's usually when they do it. Summertime, we don't get quite as many calls. Wintertime, boy, they flood in. And I remember showing up at the landlord's place, and the landlord said, boy, I wish I could do what she does. I said, what do you mean? And the woman says, I wish I could call churches and they'd come pay my bills. Says there's a new church in here every month. Now, you can ask Angela. This woman didn't get off scot-free with that. Because she started talking about, you know, she went to church, got away, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, I took all of her excuses. I said, you need to get in church. I ain't saying you got, because she lived over in Delaware County. I said, I ain't saying you got to come to mine. But I said, you had better get back in church. So, you know what the unfortunate thing has had to happen? We have to be even more wise on how we're helping. We helped one person who was attending here for a while. Hey, right here's where charity begins, right? It was later I learned the person owned a home, but didn't live in it. They owned it outright. And then when we refused to help again after finding us out, we're the bad people. Listen, I'm not the bad person. I'm trying to be wise with what God's given me. So we have to be wise in how we're administering the good. We have to be innocent of evil. Listen, you have to be innocent. This word innocent, what does that one say? Forget, they used a different word. We knew the song in Simple. Yes, that's right, Simple. We sang the song in Innocent of Evil. So every time I quote the scripture, I'm going back to innocent. Simple. You don't need to know all the in-depth workings of certain things. There's so many. This is where people get into the realm of, okay, I need to know about demons. Then we start learning about where they came from. We start talking to demons. We start trying to figure out how to control them and manipulate them. Are you hearing me? That is when we've crossed the line from being simple to trying to master a dark art. We're not called. Jesus didn't play with demons. They started crying out, "Why have you come to torment us?" I believe he only asked the name so he knew who to cast out. When they said, "Oh, we've unionized," that's basically what they said. "We're legion. We are many." And he cast them out into a herd of swine. Drove the swine nuts, so what do we think? Pigs are crazy anyhow. If you've ever had to be around them, you know what I'm talking about. So we're supposed to be simple of the of evil things. Doesn't say we're supposed to be have no knowledge whatsoever. You need to know how things are getting in. Okay, let's see. We got. I actually heard somebody, a preacher was. I would say it was a spiritual attack happening within the ministry. And this other preacher said, "You know what? You've got this guy's books in your library. These books are what's causing it." By the way, this person's books, it was Joseph Prince. It was his books on grace, which I have never heard anything that man preach go contrary to the word of God. I wholeheartedly agree with him. But they said his books. I later found out that there was a connection and things didn't go well. Joseph Prince superseded as far as ministry size. And was no longer tithing to the person. You see what I'm saying, folks? We now become evil thinking that we're doing good. This is the kind of garbage I've taken a stand against. I don't want it in this ministry. I don't want to be a part of it. I want the pure, unadulterated word of God, not filtered through 2,000 years of superstitions and hypocrisies. So when the Bible tells us to be innocent of evil, it's not saying we have to be stupid of evil. Okay, that is one thing, you know, when we decided to bring in a security team, it was because the Holy Spirit had told me things are going to start getting crazy. And you know what? Things have gotten crazy. And yeah, somebody walks in. I love to see visitors. I welcome visitors. You know that. We welcome. A lot of people say this is one of the friendliest churches they've ever been to. And I thank you for that. You. But if somebody walks in and they got a trench coat on, well, that's profiling. Rootin' tootin', it's profiling. I don't really care. I'm not politically correct. The guy's not going to pull out a shotgun and start unloading it. Trench coats aren't even popular anymore. So if somebody comes in and they act then weird, they're wearing the wrong stuff, especially if it's hot and they're wearing a trench coat, they're either going to flash you or shoot you. Either way, they might get shot. But to be innocent of evil. Folks, listen. Adam and Eve were too naive. They fell. Did God really say? They caused them to doubt. Folks, we don't have the luxury of doubting. We are in such a world. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. Everybody's waiting, and you can ask Angela. I've been talking about this for at least a year now, about the Antichrist. We're waiting to see one person sitting on a throne somewhere. I need you to understand, Jesus, you need to go back in and reread the book of Revelation. There's one head on a beast. The person you need to fear is the false prophet.
The Bible says the false prophet causes those who will not bow down to worship to be killed. It doesn't say the beast did it. The false prophet did it. Jesus said the Antichrist will do this. He said, even now the Antichrist is here. Folks, the Antichrist has been revealing his hand for a long time. Let's get the church dulled down. Let's bring in sloppy grace. Let's bring in an overabundance of wealth. That's the word I'm looking for. What? No humility. I mean, we hold pride parades for everything. The church hasn't been persecuted. When the church isn't persecuted, it doesn't grow. The Bible says in Acts that the church was persecuted and grew daily. The church needs some persecution. Because persecution makes us take a step back and get back to what is real. The truth of the Word of God. Not a flowery message that we're going to write into a book next year and make millions of dollars on. Y'all, I talked about this last week. You know my feeling about the Word, the revealed Word. That's not your message. Now, if you want to go write a fictional book, knock yourself out. But if you're writing a book where you're using Scripture, you took God's revelation. And then don't turn around and say, well, they're going to shut my TV program off. Done with it. Done with it. That's the Word of God. That's my word. That's your word. You got a revelation. The Bible says freely you've got it, freely give. You got the revelation freely. Some of you got some great revelations from the Word. You don't go out and charge people for it. Here, you pay $1,000 a head, come to we'll buy you a little cheap steak dinner, and I'm going to teach you how to be wealthy. Well, I'm going to teach you for free today. The first thing you need to do is honor God with your tithes. Be willing to step out and take chances when he says to. Look at Isaac. God told him to sow in a time of famine. Bob, if there's a famine, are you out planting your fields? He will now. He's like, God says I'm going to be out there. I'm going to plant them. But typically we don't. We don't plant when there's not going to be any rain. The seed's just going to die, and it will not come back up. But God told Isaac, and he prospered Isaac. Brought jealousy to Isaac. As a matter of fact, they ran him out. There's your first two ways of prospering in the kingdom of God. Right there. Be willing and obedient. Well, you know, I got these dreams. There's this thing. It's a four-letter word, folks. I'm going to use a four-letter word, y'all. If you're offended by it, I'm sorry. It's called work. W-O-R-K. That's how you get around in this world. You work.
I just never got the chances.
You didn't take the first chance you ain't taking is you never trusted God with your money. So don't talk about you can't be a billionaire because of where you were born. Anyhow, let me get back on track. And then it says, and the God of peace. Let me read to you what this word peace means. A state of rest, quietness, and calmness, an absence of strife, tranquility. It generally denotes a perfect well-being. Irene, it looks like Irene. As a matter of fact, they use the word Irene in here. Includes harmonious relationships between God and men. Men and men, nations and families. Can we not handle some irene? I think we can. We need it between God and men. People are attacking God. We need it between men. We need it between nations. Not only does North Korea want to obliterate it, China's backing it. And if China's backing it, guess who else is? Russia. They've been jealous of the United States ever since we came onto the scene. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, if the church, listen, our position as the body of Christ in this country is not to find ourselves, figure out how to become billionaires. Our position in this country is to be the covering for this country. That's what we're here for. This country was founded by people coming to look to serve God. God will not look away from that. I told you last week, God did not turn away from His Son. He's not going to turn away from people who said, we will create a whole new nation. Now you got to understand, it's our job to pray, to stand. We don't need to go at war with people over this, that, and the other. And if you got a problem making a cake for a homosexual couple, figure out, ask God what words to use. Because it is illegal in this country to say, because you're gay, I will not bake you a cake. You just crossed the line. Use your wisdom. Do you realize they're trying to make it to where I have to? But long time ago, the Holy Spirit moved on me and said, you need to change your policies. I do not marry anybody who's not a member of this church. And to be a member of this church, you have to understand homosexuality is wrong. By the way, 14 years ago, is when I started writing the policies and procedures. And in that, we addressed, and I didn't think I'd ever have to, cross-dressing. Men coming in here as women. Never thought I'd ever have to never thought I'd have to deal with that. Never once. But today, what movie were we watching last night? What was it? And they mentioned Bruce Jenner. It was Jack and Jill. And he said something about Bruce Jenner's coming on next or something, and we're like, wow, how things have changed. Bruce is no longer Bruce. So, the purpose of the body of Christ in the United, in the world, is to be the covering. God will take care of us if we trust Him. But our goal is to be the covering. We are the covering. God got me understood on this a couple years back, quite a few years back, about what our, because there's so many people, they got outreaches all over the place. We, by the way, help fund some of those outreaches. Well, Pastor, we aren't getting out. Listen, I'm telling you right now, get out and participate in them. We're paying for some of them. We help some of these ministries that are reaching out and helping people. And when the body of Christ starts figuring out that it's not attention to one church, if you're trying to build your church out of your outreaches, you've messed up. It's one on one. People want to know what kind of person you really are. I can tell you right now, I can talk the most vile person into going and helping other people. They will do it because they care about what people think about them in certain instances. Body of Christ, we do it as a tool to try to manipulate people into saying, well, hey, look at my holiness, my righteousness. It doesn't fly. Because what happens is they see you when you're out by yourself, away from the church. They've seen how you treated that waitress. They saw you intentionally cut off that car. They saw you walk out that door and let the door slam, and that mother of three, when she's got two kids, one on each hip, one in the buggy and trying to push the buggy full of groceries. and you couldn't wait 10 seconds to hold the door? By the way, if you want to understand what true and unadulterated religion is, go. I believe it's the book of James. I just gave you the basis of the scripture. Find it. It's not us coming together. It's not us praising Jesus and shouting and running around the church. None of that has anything to do with it. It's how we care for others. That is pure and unadulterated religion. Anyhow, so peace. God will bring peace. He's the God of peace. So if he's the peace and he comes involved in a situation, guess what's happening? Peace comes into your situation. Peace can come to this country. Peace can bring come to this world. Now, let's look at verse 20 here. Let me get back to Romans. It's up there, I know. And the God of peace will crush Satan. Oh, I love this. To trample upon, break in pieces, shatter, bruise, grind down, and smash. That's what God is going to do for you. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, 2017 was outstanding. 2018 is going to be magnificent. Because of what you went through in 2017. You may still be going through some of it, just so you know. And if you're ever totally not getting attacked, look out. That's another ploy. You know, World War II should have taught, I mean, if we would pay attention to things, World War II would teach us lessons even about the spiritual realm. We were fat and lazy. We got complacent, didn't we? Oh, it's like Thanksgiving dinner all over. We're laying there. Oh, yeah. Oh, I got to undo that top button. We had known that the Japanese were moving. There were Japanese subs. One of them was sunk. Maybe two, if I remember correct. That were sunk that morning and reported. But the officer of the day didn't think it was worth putting any effort into sending out the general quarters alarm. If we'd have been on general quarters, there would have been no Arizona at the bottom of that bay. But our complacency, see, the same thing happens in the body of Christ. We get complacent. Oh, we're prospering. We're looking good. We're smelling good. We get complacent. And the devil sneaks right in, blindsides us. And then we're scrambling. I, however, do praise God, because I believe there was one admiral who was listening. There was one battle group that went out to sea. I can't remember if they couldn't make it back in. I'm looking at Joe to get confirmation. And they either couldn't make it back in or they headed out because of a storm. They chose, instead of being in port and weathering the storm, they chose to go out to sea. And because of that, folks, our entire fleet was not destroyed. Because the guy's like, we're going to weather the storm. Most everybody else is like, we're going to port. You know them ships, folks, if you've never seen the size of these things, you need to go. The World War II ships were kind of impressive. I've been on the North Carolina. Yeah, it's kind of impressive. You want to know what's really impressive? A modern day nuclear aircraft carrier carries over 5,000 people, has its own, it's a city. And the deck of that thing is usually above the trees when it's in port. And there's those jets sitting up there. They are magnificent in their glory. Stop and think about, you know, you tick us off. Do you really want to see? I forget how many we got of those. I think there's at least six big ones. 30,000 sailors and Marines on board of those ships. Just those six. Not the rest of the battle group. There were over 700 ships involved in the attack on Iwo Jima. 700. The general that saw them coming, he knew they weren't going to live. But he didn't give up either. He had a job, and it was to kill as many Americans as possible. But we got a little complacent in our muscles and our power. We bombarded it for, I think it was 90 days, 70 or 90 days, bombed it. Ship sat out there, blew it apart. We bombers over top of it. There's no way, nothing, there's no vegetation left. And we got on there. When we landed, we walked right up, no problem. Then we found out we didn't kill a one of them because they were so well fortified. They took battle serious. The body of Christ needs to start taking what we do serious too. Our job is not, I'm going to repeat this, not to go out and be the moral police. Because personally, I think we need to police home first. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict those people of their sin. It's like Jesus said, how can you tell somebody else they've got sin? You know, they got a little toothpick in their eye, and you got this whole board. You can't legislate it, folks. You cannot legislate morality. I've been saying this for 16 years. You cannot legislate morality. God couldn't. Why do we think we can? Put the Ten Commandments up in every courthouse across the nation, and I promise you, those judges are breaking maybe one or two of them. The judges. We haven't even gotten to the attorneys. I'd say that. We've got friends who are attorneys. Let alone the people that are on trial. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. So, hold on, Pastor. Now, he will crush Satan under my feet? Pastor, are you saying what I think you're saying? Yeah. He's going to use you. See, we all like to sit back and say, okay, come on in, Lone Ranger. Come on, bring the cavalry. Bring the charge, right? Come over the hill. Gatling guns blazing. That's what we want. Truth of the matter is, Paul said, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. He's going to use you to do it. So if you want the victory, you better man up. Better hold on and say, all right, God, I'm going to do what it takes. I want victory in this. And then get ready for a fight. Oh, but Jesus won that victory long time ago. I don't have to fight. Remember what I said about being excellent at what is good, being wise in what is good? We need to understand that there's still a fight. I believe it was in the 1980s they found Japanese soldiers in the jungles of the Philippines who were still fighting the war. By the way, that's how dense those jungles are. I've been there. And they didn't know it was over. They hadn't gotten word. So how much more do you think that the devil's a liar? Jesus would be standing there on his throat and he's like, I'm not dead. I'm still fighting. Fight, fight, fight. You're defeated. So that means you get to take on those demons, those spiritual forces. Not to control them and manipulate them so that you can get wealth or to do your work. But so you can be free and so you can have boldness that when you see something somebody else is dealing with, you say, you know what, I know how to pray about that. I will have to say that's one thing God has really opened me up in is my prayer when I pray. Because he's taught me that when it comes to spiritual warfare, there is no Geneva Convention.
We have such a messed up ideology with the Geneva Convention. Well, the Geneva Convention says this. Yeah, it said you couldn't torture prisoners. We all do it. American, German, Russian, they all, Japanese, they all did it. Didn't stop them. There was a time in life, if I remember my history correct, Joe, there was a time in life during the Revolutionary War that England would stop for tea. And they weren't real thrilled with the fact that we didn't honor that. It may be 4 o'clock. It's not tea time. It's shoot you time. They thought it was wrong that Americans were targeting officers on board their ships, which is where the U.S. Marines came from. We need people that can shoot and hold on to a pole on a ship in a crow's nest. So if you look at least in the Marine Corps, I think even the naval officers, they have this thing called a quatrefoil on top of their covers. It's four loops. It identified them as American, so we didn't shoot our own officers. And that's why today the officers have a quatrefoil on top of their covers, so that the snipers in the crow's nest didn't shoot them. We didn't want to get the wrong officers. See, they did whatever they had to do for their independence. Folks, I want a magnificent year. Last year was outstanding. There's a lot of good things happened. Some sad things happened to people as well. A lot of changes have happened, but I'm going to tell you right here, right now, we will have a magnificent year. God is going to move. Listen, God's going to be a real move. And I'm talking, we're not talking about people just coming up and rolling on floors in revival. We're talking about people who've never been saved getting radically saved. That's my problem with revivals. If you've been around a church for a minute or two, usually the people that come to the revivals are those that have gotten saved the last 50 revivals. I remember being part of a church that we had, I forget how many weeks straight. It was going on to years. I know it was over 52. Straight weeks, somebody got saved. Well, I was a sound man then, and I could see the people that maybe just slid up their hand a little bit. And so I would point out who got saved. And nearly every Sunday, the same two guys got saved. Even if nobody else did, they did. And they counted. They never really got saved. They just wanted pity. This is one of those being wise at good things. Unfortunately, when you want to deceive people with that kind of garbage, you're not going to be around long. Just all there is to it. But I believe the time's coming when people who have never been saved are going to get saved. Y'all remember I've talked about my cousin who's an atheist. He's all the time bashing God. And I've said a few things, and he's actually removed his posts on the ones I've commented on. But I've been listening to the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you a little something? He's been sharing posts that are actually scripture. He doesn't know it. He's like, that sounds good. And I thought, oh, exactly. That's scripture, brother. You just don't know it. I got a feeling I know why he doesn't believe there's a God. Because religion told him that God could heal his daddy and his daddy didn't get healed. And when I say religion, I know his dad. He's my uncle. And God healed him. He walked out in front of a car one night drunk. Broke every bone in his body that night. He spent from the early 70s into the 80s living in the VA home in Chillicothe. At one point, they were starting to tell a family, you might want to come visiting. His brain is rotting, literally. And my parents went and prayed with him. And God healed him. within a month, he was almost back to his right mind. And you can ask Angela. She got to meet him one time. This is a guy who served in the Marine Corps during the 50s. He went AWOL more times than you can count. He actually beat my grandpa back home. My grandpa had no legs and had to borrow a car. He took him to the bus depot, and by the time my grandpa got back to Sutton, 2-hour drive today, my uncle had beat him home, hitchhiking. MPs got him, but anyhow, never been in Vietnam, but boy, he'd tell you, he'd show you the cuts on bruises, permanent bruises on his legs from where he walked out in front of that car. Jumped in jungles, Vietnam. He couldn't tell the truth anymore. Well, God began healing him, and they said the Robert we knew came back, and he was getting better, and they were actually making plans within months of sending him home to live a normal life. And my dad was down there, and they were talking to him, and they said, you know, Robert, you know, God has done great things, and he's healed you. Yeah. He said, Bucky, you know what? The first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to a bar, and I'm getting me a woman. Two weeks later, he never recovered. He went right back. God healed him. My uncle got saved. I guess you could say by the skin of his teeth. But he didn't realize how that affected his little boy. But God, for some reason, I didn't even know I had a cousin on that side, brought us together. He lives in Massillon. Comes to Mansfield all the time to eat. He just fails to tell me when he's coming. But let me tell you, folks, people like that, you're going to start seeing them get saved. They're going to get radically saved. They're going to turn their lives around. You're going to see true revival in this country. You're going to see people break down. You're going to have people come to you and ask you why you're so happy. And I know it's going to befuddle some of you. I look happy. Just saying. This can be a magnificent year. All right, let's stand. I truly wish a very blessed new year on each and every one of you. I pray you stay warm. And above all else, I truly do pray that 2018 is a year that you grow abundantly in the Lord. And you're trusting him. Listen, I'm going to tell you straight up again. With trusting God, you have a test. It means you have to stand on what you know. I know God is a good God. I know he's a gracious God. I know he loves me. And he didn't put me in the situation I get into. Somewhere along the line, I missed the sign that said, this isn't the road. Kind of like Wile E. Coyote, isn't it? He sneaks up ahead, takes a sign down, paints a road on the thing, goes into a side of a mountain. But with God, we can be like the roadrunner and move the mountain. Go right through it. But you're going to have to trust God in all things. Don't trust in a man. Listen, folks, I pray for our president. I pray for our government. And I know you are. If you're not, you'd better start. Because they do kind of make the rules in this country. But don't look to President Trump to be your savior or your provider. Don't look to a party
to provide you with the benefits. Don't look to your employer. Look to God. And watch what God will do. Because, folks, he's going to open doors. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for your word. Father, we thank you that you said that you sent your word and healed us. Father, that meant you bridged the gap of things broken, things missing. You brought peace. You brought shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Father, I thank you and praise you right now that you are the God of peace, that you are crushing Satan underneath our feet, that, Father, all we have to do is step in. Father, I pray right now for strength, for wisdom, and for courage, Lord God, for each and every person, Lord God, no matter what they may face down, Father, that you are moving on their behalf. Father, you're bringing peace to this situation. Father, you are mending what has been torn. Father, I thank you and praise you. Right now, broken hearts are being mended. Wounds are being healed. Father, where things are missing, you are bringing them back better than ever. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I know as they go about their week, Father, as we celebrate a new year coming in, Father, first off, that you set your angels round about each and every one of them as they're driving. Father, protect them and give them wisdom. Father, I pray that you move in their lives this week. Father, and again, I pray for opportunities for them in Jesus' name. Amen.